Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
So yesterday, first part of our two-part discussion, we got into the most underrated Nashville sports figures yesterday. And here was the conclusion. We took a lot of calls, a lot of people tweeted in, and what we came up with was this list. Of the last 20 years, the most underrated sports figures in Nashville. Number one, Rick Byrd. Number two, Mayor Phil Bredesen. Number three, the combination of Benji Olson and Zach Piller. Number four, Shannon Terry, founder of Rivals, founder of 24/7 Sports. And number five, the combination of Butch Spirit and Scott Ramsey. Couldn't decide on some of those combo platters. So we went with Butch Spirit from the Convention and Visitors Bureau, Scott Ramsey from the Nashville Sports Council, as the most underrated sports figures in Nashville of the last 20 years. Today we flipped the script. We want to know the most overrated sports figures in Nashville of the past 20 years. This could be media members, this could be coaches, owners, general managers, wherever you want to go with this, you can go. Most overrated sports figures in Nashville of the last 20 years. 615-737-1045. May I begin?
Yeah, I'd like to go last.
Mine, I think, is going to be one that's a lot of people will have, so I'll go ahead and get it out of the way. And I to me, it's pretty obvious, and I think this guy absolutely should end up in our top five. It's Kevin Stallings, Vanderbilt basketball coach for all those years. Kevin Stallings did a masterful job of convincing people that he was some sort of basketball savant sent from heaven to instruct everyone on the finer points of putting a ball through a hoop. And he fooled everyone into believing that. I don't get it. The guy is a jerk. He was not nice to people. And he didn't really win all that much. I think that Kevin Stallings, for whatever reason, convinced Vandy fans that their program was just good enough, that he was doing everything he could. He was maxing out at Vandy. I don't buy that. I think Vandy is a sleeping giant and has the possibility to be great in college basketball with a lot of the advantages that they have. And Kevin Stallings just never fully realized that. Sure, he had some good years. He had some good runs. I know that he's, I think, one of the most winningest coaches in the history of the program. But he's overrated. He was never that good. I don't think he was bad at Vanderbilt, but he was not good enough to stick around as long as he did and for people to speak as highly of him as they did. Yeah. Now, it's easier to say now that he went to Pitt and was an utter failure there.
Completely.
But I think that he's overrated. I don't think he was that bad. I just think he's way overrated.
He should have done better with his best teams, I feel like. And we all know he consistently drove people away, which, you know, there's something to be said for being able to bring in a guy who you win over recruiting and to sustain a relationship with him for 4 years. He failed to do that at an acceptable rate for me. Even after the Pitt thing, I think he can be a very good X's and O's coach, but I think that faded over time. He wasn't as good, or other people caught up to him or figured him out or whatever, and it was not enough to offset some of the other things that made him disappointing. And I think his name could get higher on this list based on what Vanderbilt's about to do. And what
could
hope is,
or I may have to change my answer in 3 years if Vanderbilt doesn't do what I think they're about to do.
But based on the recruiting right now, you would think,
yeah,
they're heading in a good direction. That's a good one.
Think about, you know, when Tennessee fired Philip Fulmer, there's probably Tennessee fans would put Philip Fulmer on the list of overrated. You think any Tennessee fans saying that in hindsight now, 10 years later? I mean, what happens with Vandy basketball, I think, could shape this answer a little bit on just how good Kevin Stallings was at Vanderbilt. And again, I mean, obviously he stuck around for a long time. He had some success. He was a good coach at Vandy, but this all again goes back to how you rate how someone was rated. Way people talked about Kevin Stallings was not proportional with his actual output as a coach.
Did he get to an Elite Eight?
No.
Or just a Sweet 16?
No, he got to
one Sweet 16 or two?
At least
one where he
two.
Lost to UConn out west.
He lost to UConn. He lost to Georgetown on the controversial Jeff Green travel. Was there another one? That was it? UConn, and yeah. So two Sweet 16s.
Trenton, our production assistant.
Trenton's a huge Vandy guy. So we rely on him for all Vandy news.
Do you agree with this assessment? How do you rate Kevin Stallings? Give us a thumb level.
Yeah. He's in the middle. So, right. Again, he wasn't talked about like a guy who's in the middle, I guess is my point. I would put him in the middle also, but I feel like people in the game talk about him like he's John Wooden.
Agreed. David?
This is probably where we start to make some people mad.
Bring it on.
I would almost want to take wagers between who's going to be more upset, either my guy or Paul's guy. But this is kind of some revisionist history going on anytime this guy has mentioned. I think he was part of a big moment in the history of sports in Nashville, so that's why a lot of people look back on him lovingly. But Lorenzo Neal is not the greatest football player who ever put on a helmet, the way some Titans fans make him out to be. Two seasons with the Tennessee Titans.
Most people would say four. I bet you.
Two seasons.
Two seasons?
Three carries.
I would have said more than, I would have said like five or six.
Three carries for 1 yard, 58 yards receiving. And you're going to make the argument Eddie George was never better than when he ran behind Lorenzo Neal. He had three 1,000-yard rushing seasons before Lorenzo Neal and two after. And the one that was not a 1,000-yard season was 939 yards.
How many behind Lorenzo did you say?
Two.
Yeah.
On the backside of his career. Yeah. On the backside of his career. Look, I understand it. He was part of the Music City Miracle. Just like there
And he did the right thing in the Music City Miracle. He got the ball out of his hand.
Absolutely.
Because you didn't want the ball
in
his hand.
Absolutely. But he was not now, nor is any fullback, the key to the success of the Tennessee Titans moving forward.
Or any offense.
Or any offense.
Since 1990.
This is the type of answer that I want to get. I think that if you're talking overrated, then you have to. Some of these answers by nature will be a little bit controversial. And I think that's a great example right there. And I agree with you, by the way, in the fullback in general. People overrate.
And Lorenzo's a likable guy. So I mean, he's a great guy, yes. And he was a very good football player. He's just not the transformative figure that he's been cast at. I think you can't
remove him from that team because of that one play itself. But outside of that play, if you were to remove him, do the Titans
probably do the same thing?
They probably do the same thing.
With
they
Aaron
find
Kinney
another way
and
to
Frank
do it.
Frank Wycheck taking on more of that.
We've got phone lines open for you if you've got an example. And tell us why when you call in as well. Paul, you promised to upset people with this answer, so go ahead.
Listen, he's probably the most popular athlete we've ever had in Nashville. And we love to love our heroes. And he was heroically tough and never pointed a finger and beloved for a lot of appropriate reasons. But Steve McNair was not the quarterback that we make him out to be. Would I want him to start for my team for 9 or 10 years in his prime? Absolutely. Because if you're throwing darts at NFL quarterbacks, you could do far, far worse than Steve McNair. But some of the numbers are telling. And listen, I understand the context that the Titans were very careful with him, that it was a running offense, and that he did not have great wide receivers at any time. All of that given, the guy had three seasons where he threw over 20 touchdown passes. Three. His career passer rating was 82.8, 83.3 if you take out Baltimore. All right. I looked closely at 1997 to 2005 when he was the starter here. And I'll get to some of those numbers. First, Pro Football Reference was an excellent, excellent site. Gives you comps for a guy, right? So the comps for Steve McNair's career are Joe Namath, Donovan McNabb, Eli Manning, Terry Bradshaw, Ken Stabler, Troy Aikman, Mark Brunell, Tony Romo, Jim Everett, and Boomer Esiason. Now, Namath, Bradshaw, Stabler, Aikman, Hall of Famers. Collectively, 17 Pro Bowls, 2 MVPs, 3 first-team All-Pros, 9 Super Bowl titles plus an AFL title, 10 titles. McNair, 3 Pro Bowls, 1 co-MVP, 0 All-Pros, 0 titles. All right? He's closer to McNabb, Manning, Brunel, Romo, Everett, Esiason. When I say that list, no one's doing cartwheels claiming that they're an all-time great or making a Hall of Fame case. Eli Manning will have a Hall of Fame case based on the Super Bowls, right?
Well, and to be honest, that list is better than I expected to be his comps.
Well, let's continue. Let's continue. During 97 to 05, his starting years, among guys who played at least 100 games, Steve McNair had 83.0 passer rating. Above him, Peyton Manning, 93.5, obvious. Trent Green, 88.3. Matt Hasselbeck, 86.6. Brett Favre, no-brainer, 84.6. Mark Brunel, 84.5. Brad Johnson, 84.2. Are you excited? Are you this excited about a quarterback that's grouped? Throw Manning and Favre out as the supreme guys. Trent Green, Matt Hasselbeck, Mark Brunel, Brad Johnson. That's the company he keeps. Now, there's no shame in it. Those guys weren't awful. Mark Brunel did great things in Jacksonville. Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Trent Green, injury was shortened. We love Matt Hasselbeck, who wound up here. But those are not the names most people would list Steve McNair with. But they are the names most people should list Steve McNair with. Finally, now, the Titans, to their credit, were 30-12 in these games. But Steve McNair had 42 games, playoffs or regular season, 42 games where he threw for under 200 yards passing. 42 games where he threw for under 200 yards. You know who had less than that? Drew Bledsoe, Brad Johnson, Vinny Testaverde, Tim Couch, maybe he didn't play quite enough games. Brett Favre, Tony Banks, David Carr, Joey Harrington. Now, maybe a couple of these guys didn't have quite enough games. John Kitna, he played enough games. Trent Dilfer, Steve McNair threw for less than 200 yards, more than those guys. He threw for less than 200 yards in 32% of his starts. Running team, bad wide receivers, different era. Don't ask me if Steve McNair's a Hall of Famer. Don't ask me. It's a Nashville thing that's over the top. He won a co-MVP. He had some great moments. He gave the team stability at the most important position for the bulk of 9 years. He was tough and durable and showed up and didn't point fingers, and we love him for all of that. Numerically, he is not what we have come in this city to think he is.
Paul,
take that for data.
Yes, you brought it. Well, well done. Good argument by you. I don't know that I'm ready to jump all in and agree with you on it, but I will say that just the nature of when someone dies young, I feel like we overrate them.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's kind of led to this mythic status.
Well, also, if Jake Locker had panned out, or if Vince Young had panned out, or if Mariota was already where we're hoping he gets, it lessens it. But you go a long stretch after you have a pretty good guy, a very good guy, and you don't have another very good guy, he gets better and better, right? Because if we could just have somebody like McNair. Well, and then what McNair was becomes bigger and bigger and bigger.
So we want to know what you think. Most overrated sports figure of the last 20 years in Nashville.
David, your thoughts.
637-1045,
737-1045. I think you're right. He was the guy in Nashville when we didn't have a guy. So we look at him as this mythical figure. And he was a guy who from his background and his tenacity and his toughness fit in with what Nashville was, fit in with what Tennessee was at the time. That's why he's so beloved. And that's why so many people don't care, one, about the numbers that you threw out, couldn't quote you the numbers that that you threw out. All they saw was the way that he played on the field. But when you break it down from an analytical standpoint, you are right.
It's
also another thing I'll say, like, we love guys that do the extra work and all of that. Steve McNair was not in the facility during the offseason. Steve McNair liked to warm up throwing to an equipment guy that didn't necessarily help the bad receivers that he had to help get better. He was not without fault in some of these things, and I don't mean to be bashing him. I liked him a lot personally, and I think he was a very good quarterback. I just think this city thinks he's much better than he was.
There can only be one first. Yeah, you know, he was the first guy. Reed brought it up. He was the first quarterback when the Titans got here, so he'll always have that. Paul, you make a very compelling argument for Steve McNair to be on this list. 615-737-1045, most overrated sports figure in Nashville of the last 20 years. Austin on Twitter says Ken Whisenhunt is one of the most overrated top five. Who's rating Ken Whisenhunt's time in Nashville as high?
Ken Whisenhunt's absolutely hated here.
Yeah, he's a disaster.
People think he absolutely stunk, which he did. No one is overrating Ken Whisenhunt.
Yeah, so we got.
He was overrated when he got here. I'd agree with that.
If you want to go with just a guy who's overrated as a coach in general, I'll buy that. But in Nashville, he's not rated very highly. We want to know the most overrated Nashville sports figure.
Yeah, here's the typical reaction. This is John Scott Major, who doesn't have an avatar, so I don't give him too much credit. But he said, I don't disagree about number nine's numbers, but the toughness factor and the fact that he played several seasons behind battered offensive lines make the numbers skewed a bit. When he was healthy with a healthy O-line, he was not overrated. I'm not carving up his career. His career was his career. I am consistent as could be on this. What you did is what you did. I'm not going to do all kind of gerrymandering of your career and cut out this part because Benji Olsen was hurt and cut out this part because you had the sternum issue. All that stuff's part of it for everyone, not just for him, for everyone.
615-737-1045. So suggestions that we have so far, just in what we've voted. Kevin Stallings, Lorenzo Neal, Steve McNair.
Here's another great tweet. This one's from Austin. Austin 417-40928, which makes him a bot.
Did he just put his phone number down on his Twitter account?
Somebody give him a call.
Can someone text that number again? Was it Austin?
It's a number short.
Okay, never mind.
He said, rating Steve McNair overrated. Ha, 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 ha. You're not a fan. You just cover the Titans. Yeah, thanks, Tips. You don't know what he meant to this city. Yeah, I've been here for the whole thing. You're, again,
the whole thing.
Again, the wrong you're. A loser and will continue to be a loser. Go back to New York, idiot.
Go back to New York.
Now, do you think that's a reference to me having been in New York this weekend?
He wants you to go back on vacation. That's what it is.
Right. He's talking about my recent vacation.
Or just your college
Not
time.
The part where I've lived in Nashville since 1997.
And you only lived in New York during college,
I'm guessing that I've lived in Nashville as long as he has because he was probably born in 1997 or after.
I get sometimes from people saying, go back to Knoxville, you idiot. I'm like, I just spent 4 years there.
I was home in the summer.
Yeah, I came home a lot. I needed laundry done. You know, I wasn't doing it myself.
I was folding polo shirts during the summer.
On the weekend
I was working
Mom
at the alcohol store.
That's right. The alcohol store. That's what we call it in Knoxville. Where do you work? The alcohol store.
Now, this is fair. Jimmy Morris.
Worked at a liquor store that got robbed 3 times while I was there.
Jimmy Morris from Music City Miracles, who I think does great work and has great insight into this team. And also, I believe, created the Can Confirm nickname for Jason Wolf, for which I'll always appreciate him, says, to me, there's a separation.
You'll always be in our hearts for that.
You're always in our hearts, Jimmy. To me, he said, there's a separation between mythical creature and those numbers Kuharsky quoted. McNair is obviously not a Hall of Famer, but you can't overrate his importance as a, quote, Nashville sports figure. I would agree with that. But I think his importance as a Nashville sports figure has come to be paired with, like, he was a great, great quarterback on the field, and the numbers tell you something different.
I think so much of the legend of Steve McNair has to do with his death. I just do. I think anytime someone dies tragically and young, they become a legend more so than others. And that's true with Steve McNair. Let's go to Alan on line two. Alan, welcome in.
Gentlemen, hope all's well. I'm going to start by prefacing this with I'm a UT fan, so there is a little bit of bias that plays into this.
Okay.
But it's got to be James Franklin. 1-1 against Butch Jones, could have easily been 0-2. 1-1 against Derek Dooley, had a losing record in SEC play, recruited Corey Beatty, Vanderberg, and Brandon Banks. And, I mean, just you go back and look at the schedules in 2012 and 2013, the teams he played, Presbyterian, Wake Forest twice, only got to 5-3 in the SEC conference play at any point, and he could never fill up stadiums. I mean, yeah, He did three straight bowl games and two winning seasons and beat Tennessee twice. But if you really look at his overall impact, the fact that he couldn't sell out the stadium whenever they played Ole Miss in 2013 to open the season, that right there just makes me think he's overrated in general.
Well, that's not his fault. Let's be clear on that. It's not James Franklin's job to sell out the stadium. It's his job to win.
He's the best they've had.
And he won.
But again, they made him mythical. And I'll go, listen, I'm transparent as can be. It's personal with me. I think the guy's a jerk. I didn't like him personally. That taints how I view him as a coach. He did great things for Vanderbilt. They've gone unmatched since he left. But he wasn't the second coming. And he was a turd to me. Not just to me. To me, I thought he was a turd.
I'll be honest, too. Part of my thing with Kevin Stallings is he was he was a jerk.
Well, you can buy yourself a lot of benefit of the doubt by not being a jerk.
I agree. But with James Franklin, he's not overrated. I mean, I don't necessarily like James Franklin, but he was at Vanderbilt. I mean, look at the history of Vanderbilt football until James Franklin got there, and look at what he was able to accomplish. You can... great word you use, Paul. Gerrymander. You can gerrymander the numbers and say, well, he beat these teams and he's only 1-1 against Butch Jones. He beat Tennessee twice. All right, that's an accomplishment for Vandy. Derek Mason, I'm going to talk about this tomorrow. Derek Mason's job is saved right now because he's beaten Tennessee twice. Bad Tennessee teams, albeit, but that's good when you're at Vanderbilt. That's what you want to do. And I mean, I can't think of much that James Franklin... I don't know what more he could have done at Vandy. Let's put it that way. I don't know that it was going to get better. Could he have built a consistent 6-7-8 win program like Dan Mullen did at Mississippi State? Yeah. I think if he stays at Vandy, I think that's probably the case at Vanderbilt. I don't think he's overrated at all. He will not be in my top five.
I think he's somewhat overrated.
The caller brought up some good points, but I'm not going to, because they didn't sell out the stadium, that's not on James Franklin. That's a Vandy fan problem more than anything else.
No, I agree. He was immensely frustrated.
And the guy did everything in his power to sell out the stadium.
Walking door to door.
The guy would call my high school football show on Friday nights out of the blue when he was out recruiting to sell the game the next day. I mean, he went above and beyond trying to sell that program. Let's go to Steven on line one. Steven, welcome in.
Good afternoon, guys. I had two guys I was thinking about, McNair being one of them, and I think this is the NHL equivalent to McNair, and that's Pekka Rinne. He is a very good regular season goalie, fringe top 10 to 8, but when you look at his playoff record, regularly, he has failed with the exception of 1 year. As a 10-year starter for the Preds, he missed the playoffs 3 times. You want to look at stats. He's won 300 games, a very impressive number. However, when you look at the all-time wins list, that puts him right in the lines of Cam Ward and Kerry Leighton. These guys aren't beloved, nationally recognized, historically great goaltenders, and there are currently 5 active goaltenders with at least 60 or more wins above Rinne. I think he's incredibly overrated for the kind of the honors that he has really not received.
Steven, you make a compelling argument, my friend. Very well done, very well laid out, very well constructed. I disagree with you, though. I don't think Pekka Rinne is overrated. That is an unpopular stance, and you did a good job of framing it. But I will say, Paul, we had this discussion last week.
I think he's fairly rated.
I think he's fairly rated also.
As a guy who hasn't gotten it done enough in the playoffs.
We had this discussion last week, and we couldn't think of many examples. Pekka Rinne is the local face of the Nashville Predators. But P.K. Subban is the national face of the Predators, and internationally, right? If you said Nashville Predators to someone in Phoenix, they're going to think of P.K. Subban before Pekka Rinne. And maybe that lends itself to him being a little bit overrated. When you think about the rest of the hockey world would think of P.K. Subban first before Pekka Rinne, but locally here in Nashville, we think of Pekka. I have a hard time saying that he's overrated. I think properly rated for Pekka Rinne. This next one I don't think will be that controversial. Phone lines are open, by the way, if you want to jump in. 737-1045. Let's go to Chris next. Chris, go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Great.
Good. I think Jeff Fisher is by far the most overrated sports figure in Nashville in the last 20 years. I think he's a career 8-8 coach at best. Was a great guy at hype, was great at building himself up, and they did have a couple of good years under him. But if you look at his entire career, I think he's highly overrated.
I think you raise an interesting point, but stay on the line and let me ask you this. If I give you a guy, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. If I give you a guy who gave you 9 years as a head coach and won at a 586 clip, 88-62, would you take that?
Yeah, I think, yeah, you're shooting down my argument.
Well, that's what Jeff Fisher did from 95 to 04. I think from 95 to 03, he was a pretty good coach. And then he got a little cocky. The game started to change and evolve. He lost a couple key players, and it was really bad from there going forward almost all the time. But in those first seasons, he won 7, 8, 8, 8, 13, 13, 7, 11, 12. That five season of 13, 13, 7, 11, and 12, anybody in this town would sign up for.
Well, I agree, but I think that's shooting down your earlier argument of picking data out of different places.
Okay, yeah, I agree, but this is at least a straight line. Like, it's not, he was good here right. and good there, but this is up to this point, he was good. And after yeah. this point, he wasn't. That's more like okay. a beginning and an end.
Okay, I agree with that.
I think it's a good call, and I think it's a good argument, a good discussion to have.
There's an argument to be had. I don't think, and I thought that maybe the first example we'd get would be Jeff Fisher. And there's a lot of votes on Twitter for Jeff Fisher being the most overrated Nashville sports figure.
And it's funny, you're talking about McNair dying elevates him. Fisher going on to fail elsewhere decreased him, right? If you took the Rams stuff out and he didn't go to St. Louis / L.A. and fail, he probably wouldn't have, his image in Nashville wouldn't have been dented as much as it was by that.
Well, here's the difficult part for me with Fisher to put him on this list for Nashville. I think Nashville properly rates him. I think Nashville has a pretty good understanding of what Jeff Fisher was for this franchise, and they don't overrate him. If you want to make an argument about Jeff Fisher, it's nationally he's overrated.
Yes.
Right?
And that comes out of media, largely out of media savvy, except by Sal Pal.
I think in the NFL, he's largely overrated, if you want to make that argument. But I think in Nashville, he's rated right where he needs to be.
I'd agree with that.
I'd have a hard time putting him on the Nashville
list. And one national guy got headlines out of not liking him.
Speaking of the local part of this, Paul, Mr. Allen on Twitter writes in and says, the problem I have with Paul's answer on McNair is we're talking about Nashville sports figures, so he should be compared to Titans quarterbacks, not the whole league.
Of course he's the best Titans
quarterback. And he said, I'm not a
Titans fan. Of course he's the best Titans quarterback. I'm talking about, there's all different kind of sliding context that goes on here. I think in Nashville, people see the guy who is very clearly, inarguably, the best quarterback this franchise has had in its time in Tennessee, but tends to make him out to be Johnny Unitas. There's a lot of room between those two things for me. A lot. A lot, a lot, a lot.
Rick is up next. Rick, welcome in. You're on the Midday 180.
Hey, guys. Hey. So, first off, are you
going by Rick now, Ricky?
No, I put Ricky, but David's always distracted when he's talking to me.
Oh, okay.
He knows you don't need his full attention.
I kind of like you going to Rick. You know, I'm more of a fan of the name Rick than Ricky. So if this was an actual change that you're making, I approve of it.
To me, you're the guy that makes Ricky a satisfactory name.
Yeah,
that's how much clout you have.
You're the best Ricky I know outside of Ricky Vaughn.
There's a lot of compliments. I like it.
Chad, let the man talk.
But my first option with Steve McNair, like, just hands down, he's just wasn't that great of a quarterback. He was great for the city, but he just wasn't that great of a quarterback to me. He was kind of like his head coach, which was more just average. If you look at all of his game stats, it's 8-8 overall is what he would have been. But because he's already been used, my second one, he's currently sitting out to get a big contract. He's probably going to get paid $16 to $18 million a year. And he's beloved in the city because he's rare in the sense that he has a personality. But when you watch his actual gameplay, he really isn't that great of a left tackle. And the guy is Taylor Wan. I think the city has created the idea that he is this wall. You can't get by him. He's the best left tackle in the league. So we're going to pay him a lot. And I think he's so overrated. He gets into the Pro Bowl more because he's a lineman with a personality versus actually being a good lineman. And if you talk to anybody in the city, they will tell you he's the best left tackle in the NFL, and I don't even think he makes the top 12. And that is my most overrated player in the league right now.
Well, I don't think he's the best tackle in the NFL, but he's definitely in the top 12. I think he's a very good player. I put stock into Blake Bedingfield, who visited with us recently, the former director of college scouting, who said he's the best athlete on the team.
He also rates very well with Pro Football Focus and everything that does. Any metric that you have on offensive linemen and how they rate them, he tends to do pretty well.
He's a good player. I will say this one thing I feel like. I feel like on the rare occasions where he's beat in a one-on-one situation, it's a posterization sometimes, right? It's not a, that guy just barely
just barely beat him.
It's sometimes there are some moments that have looked.
It's Scottie Pippen dunking on Patrick Ewing in the playoffs.
But I think he's an excellent player. I think they should pay him 16, 17.
Couple phone lines open if you want to jump in. 615-737-1045. Most overrated Nashville sports figure of the last 20 years.
Continued on this gerrymandering thing with my choice of McNair. Austin says he won MVP. He took the Titans to the Super Bowl. You're looking at how many yards he threw for in games? I just don't get it. I said a big season and a big run. I should only look at the good. He threw for 176 yards in the disastrous playoff loss to Baltimore, where the Titans were the NFL's best team. 176.
615-737-1045. So Paul is going with Steve McNair for his most overrated sports figure of the last 20 years. Examples that we've gotten so far: Lorenzo Neal, Kevin Stallings, James Franklin, Pecorine, Jeff Fisher, Taylor Lewan. We'll get to some more of your calls. A quick note, though, the Spurs have traded Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green to the Toronto Raptors for DeMar DeRozan, Jacob, I think it's Poeltl, but I'm not positive. Is how you pronounce it? And a protected 2019 first-round pick.
Once again, a player.
Odd that you see two stars like Kawhi Leonard and DeMar DeRozan involved in a trade like that. Straight up. Not straight up. Other players are involved. But when you see stars switching teams like that, it's not often
you get that. Once again, a player dictating things in the NBA, which I don't love. Dwayne, our friend on Most Overrated, says Memorial Gym. I know it has magic, but it's old, run-down, hot, hard high school bench seats that are small in a packed house. Some odd sight lines, too, with the benches on the end.
I think there are things you could say. I'm with Kevin Stallings, for instance. There are things about Vanderbilt that are overrated. I completely disagree about Memorial Gym. I think it's fantastic.
I do think it's hot. I mean, I agree with everything he's saying, but I like seeing a game there.
I think it's part of the charm. It's the same reason if you go to the Palestra in Philly. You're going to get some of that old school stuff.
I would much rather have the very unique venue than not.
Back to the phones.
Zero charm. That place is...
The Memorial Gym?
Memorial Gym is highly overrated.
You think it's highly overrated?
Highly overrated.
So you would put it in the top five if we had a top five?
Yes, yes.
Had you thought of it, or were you excited when somebody else mentioned it?
No, because I hadn't, until that point, and the caller that we had on the line earlier didn't stick on, I hadn't thought of venues.
All people.
Yeah.
Here's the one issue with Memorial Gym, I'd say. If you want to say it's overrated, I disagree. But it really has to be packed. And it hasn't been packed and loud in a bit, especially last year with all the struggles. It's not something you go and tour. Like, you go and tour Lambeau Field, and it's an old venue. You don't just walk around an empty Memorial Gym. There's really nothing to see there. Like, part of the
therefore, there's no
Memorial
magic
Gym,
there.
It has to be completely packed, right?
Do you go...
If a place
you go to
is
Cameron
magical,
empty?
It feels magical.
It would be magical.
I agree with ballparks and stadiums stuffed without roofs. I think if there's a roof over it, you need people in it.
I'd go tour Cameron.
I don't want to go to a basketball game and sweat. In November.
When you're not playing?
Yes.
I'd rather not sweat also. I'm not defending the AC in the building.
Let's go to Josh on line one. Josh, welcome in. Who's the most overrated sports figure in Nashville the last 20 years?
I'm going with Mariota right now. With McNair, I think their numbers would probably be very similar. And he had great plays, like what happened in Jacksonville. The same as McNair had that great play in the Super Bowl just before they came up a yard short. But Mariota's numbers and the way he's actually played doesn't make him a great quarterback. And I think this year he can turn all that around if he changes and becomes that great quarterback we expect him to be. And then maybe, you know, the national media will know him as Marcus Mariota and not Mariota.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's overrated. I think he's accurately rated. I think the city is hopeful that this year he goes from what he's been to what he can be. But right now, I think he's pretty accurately rated. There are some people who are out, and most people, I think, are not totally in. They're hopeful.
I don't think Marcus Mariota is going to make our top five.
No.
He made an okay argument on it, but I don't think he's overrated. Let's go to Jody. Jody, welcome in. Who's the most overrated sports figure in Nashville the last 20 years?
All right, I got two. First off, my first one is Eddie George. And I know you guys are going to fall out of your chairs when I say this.
No, I'm not.
But Eddie George, to me, really only had that one great year where he had like 1,500 yards and he was the toast of the town. But if you look at him, what I don't like is, and this is just me talking as a fan, a back that tall has a center of gravity that doesn't make him, it makes him easier to tackle. So what I hated about Eddie George is the first guy always brought him down. Always. And so that lend to us always having second and long, which put, you know, Steve McNair, who PK is saying is the most overrated guy ever to play the quarterback position. Okay, I know you didn't. I'm being facetious. But my point is, we would hand the ball off to him, and then a little 180-pound cornerback would clip him at the ankles or clip him at his knee, and he would fall down. He would never, like, spin off anybody, break a tackle, you know, and get 10 yards on a play that should have only been 2 yards. So, to me, that's my one of my overrated.
Well, hold on. Let's talk about Eddie, and then you go to your second one.
Okay.
I get what you're saying about not getting the 10, but it's funny how we go back and forth. Now we look at Derrick Henry, and we say, just fall forward and get the 2. Well, Eddie George always seemed to me to fall forward and get the 2. I think he's slightly overrated, particularly in this town, but a very good player. And you said he just had that 100-yard season. He ran for 1368, 1399, 1294, 1304, and 1509 in his first five seasons. That's pretty damn good.
Okay, but if you break that down over 16 games, I mean, that's what, 70 yards a game? And we're like, you know, belly aching of him. Come on, man. That's not like LaDainian Tomlinson type numbers.
Well, nobody says he's LaDainian Tomlinson.
I'm not saying that. But what all I'm saying is we're, you know, we 80 all those years. And to me, the guy that made that thing go was Steve. You know, and you sitting here crunching numbers for me. Please go back and crunch the numbers when Dinger was the guy and we were not running on first down, running on second down, and now Eddie has put us at 2nd and 7, and everyone knows that Steve has to throw the ball. So what do? They bring in an extra DB, and now he has 5 DBs or 6 DBs that he's going against instead of just 4. You know, so I totally disagree with Steve being overrated. So if you want to crunch the numbers, go back and crunch those numbers when Dinger was the coach, the OC, And I guarantee you those numbers were a lot more of an elite. Let me not say elite because I know you're going to, you know, harp on that word. One of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league at the time.
His coaches were his coaches. He played for who he played for. I'm not going to cut out the Les Steckel stuff. I'm not going to cut out the Norm Chow stuff.
But again, it goes back to me saying again, he was in the offense at that time, where they fed the ball to Eddie all the time.
You make a good argument.
You've been good. Go ahead, Jody, with your second one.
My second one is PK. Now, and the reason why I say this is they have this saying that say, those that do can, and those that can't talk about those who do. And I think you found your niche. My father's name is Paul, so you have a wonderful name. You got that going for you. But my thing with you is I think what you do is you troll a lot. And I think that's needed for a slow news day like today, you know. But for the most part, you're like the little irritant that's in the room right now. And I hope I'm not offending you.
That's what
you bring to the mix. And I guess every sports town kind of needs that guy. And I think that's what you bring more so than like hard hitting, you know, breaking news and stuff like that.
Well, who told you that Matt LaFleur was going to be the offensive coordinator in this town? Who told you that Dick LeBeau was out? Those are big stories. I broke them. So I don't want to hear you tell me that I don't bring news. And you can say I'm an irritant and all that. It doesn't bother me. I've never said anything that I don't believe. Never. Never. This is who I am. Also, those who can't talk about it. So you played NFL running back? Because you just talked about Eddie George playing NFL running back. So how was your career as an NFL running back?
And I preference that by
hypocritical.
Saying, I'm saying this as a fan.
So I can't talk about him, but you can?
And here's the thing. And you're entitled to your opinion. I just happen to disagree with the fact that you're saying that Steve was.
Well, that's fine. I'll disagree with you on this show. He's not trolling. You said this is Slow News Day, so he's trolling. I mean, he believes this.
We're good at coming up with good topics on Slow News Day.
I'm going to go jab this guy, even if I don't really believe it, just because I want to jab someone and I want to troll someone. This is not Paul trolling. He came with numbers as to why he thinks Steve McNair is overrated.
These guys have heard me say this.
You can disagree, and you're not alone. There are a lot of people on Twitter that disagree with him, and that's great, but I don't think he's trolling.
What I would like for him to do, since he likes the numbers and he's a numbers guy, please go back and look at the Dinger numbers. And let's talk about those Dinger numbers, where he actually had an opportunity to throw the ball on
first down. Loves Dinger more than I do.
No.
But the guy didn't play his whole career with Dinger. Look, that's a step short of saying, well, let's put McNair with Belichick for his career and see what he did. He played for the coaches he played for. His resume is his resume.
This is kind of like the reverse of the, what would Tom Brady be without Bill Belichick? Or what would Bill Belichick be without Tom Brady?
Well, certainly he was at his best with Heimerdinger. They had a very good marriage. Also, Eddie was not as good at that stage.
Let's go to
good conversation.
Let's go to Lou quickly here. Lou, go ahead.
Lewis.
Hey there. I think.
Got to get off speaker, bud.
Okay. I think the UT football program is incredibly overrated. And I'll tell you why. People talk about this team like they were the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we're talking about them now in the mid-80s. You know, I've been here since 08. I've seen nothing but incompetence. And before that...
Well, you moved at a good time for incompetence, because before that it was pretty good.
But before that, so what? You have one championship. I mean, people talk about this team like they should be right on the cusp of winning a championship every year, and you have
who's won. Saying that? Who in the world is saying that they're on the cusp of winning
kidding?
A championship?
That's the way you guys talk about.
Who is you guys? Who the hell has said that? I've said that. When have I said that? Name a time I've said specifically Tennessee's on the cusp of winning a championship. I'm saying if they win six games, it's a win.
You talk about them like they should be there. I'm not saying that you said my exact words, but the tone in which people talk about them is like, this is a championship program. How are they not back?
All right, so what tone would you prefer when talking about Tennessee football?
Actually, what it is. We hope for a good year because we haven't had any.
Haven't had any ever? I mean, I guess if it's past 10 years ago,
listen,
it doesn't count?
Listen, I'm going to give you an example. I'm a Yankee fan. Every year is a new year. You know what I'm saying? I can talk about last year, and I don't even get concerned about them until we get to the end of the season, until we hit playoffs.
Because okay, then with your argument, the last 10 years doesn't matter either. So you're talking about how bad they've been since you got here. Well, that doesn't matter. So just talk about them for this year, which we've talked about them, and we said they'll be lucky to win six games repeatedly.
Okay, I do think his broad point is fair. He's not doing great with it. Hold on, let me chime in. I think his broad point is somewhat fair in that, and you discussed the context. It's a storied program up to a certain point, and you guys pine for that, and it's not been around.
Yes, but no one.
Here's what I think is overrated.
I think the idea that Tennessee fans are sitting around talking about them winning a championship this year is overrated.
That is overrated.
That's a classic complaint of people. Oh, you're talking about them like they're great all the time. No one's saying that. I agree with you there.
But I think a lot of Tennessee fans think that Tennessee should be close to Bama.
They should be
better.
That
it's a reasonable expectation that they should be like Bama. And I think people like Lou here,
Tennessee fans, say the expectation should be to win championships.
Yeah.
Because that's what Tennessee program has been historically over the course of its entire team.
And that should be,
and by the way,
Lou,
I don't want you to ever say anything about the 27 World Series championships you have, because it's not this year.
Yeah, that's true. You can only talk about this year, according to Lou.
That was weird.
615-737-1045.
No, that's a Yankees fan for you. That's your people, Paul.
737-1045. It was a terrible argument by Lou. I mean, the point could have been made better. I still would disagree with it, but yeah, that
could have been made better.
That's bad. 737-1045, if you want to jump in. Mike has a new suggestion for us. Mike, welcome in.
Hey, guys. Just as an outsider, I think Jay Cutler is so overrated, it's not funny. I know he's not from here, but he played here at Vandy. And the only other thing I got to go with is I am from Detroit, so I kind of took exception to the worst sports cities in town, yes, in the state yesterday.
Worst sports cities in the state?
In the country. They did a list. I can't even remember what your show, sorry.
It wasn't our show. You're saying that they said Detroit's the worst sports city?
Yes.
That would be false.
Yeah, I don't know that Detroit's a bad sports city. It's not a great city right now, but it's getting better, right?
It's on the comeback, for sure. And it's a good sports city. I've been to see the Lions, who drew very well for a Titans game early in the season. I've been to the baseball park, and I haven't been to the new arena, but it sounds great. And the Joe was a place filled with a lot. The Joe's a place you wouldn't have been impressed with touring. If you're talking about a place, Reed, that like you wouldn't want to tour Memorial Coliseum, you would not want to tour the Joe. I don't know if
I've heard it was absolutely miserable.
Yeah. It's about the people in the building, not about the building.
The only thing I'll say about Jay Cutler in terms of his time at Vandy, if you want to say he's overrated, they didn't go to a bowl game, which is pretty remarkable. Not with him. It was the quarterback right after him. Is it Chris Nixon? It was Chris Nixon's team that went to the bowl game after Jay Cutler was gone.
Jay Cutler was the best quarterback at Vanderbilt.
He was great.
By a lot.
I mean, Kyle Shermer's great now. I mean, he's turned into a great quarterback for Vanderbilt also. Not having a lot of wins and loss success, but Jay Cutler didn't either. But that's, I think when you look back at that time, you remember how great Jay Cutler was for Vanderbilt, but pretty startling. They've been to bowl games since, and he didn't get them to a bowl game. Let's go to Steve next. Steve, who's the most overrated sports figure in Nashville the last 20 years?
Well, I don't know. That's Sumner County is who I'm thinking of, and I'm thinking of Jalen Hurd. I went to Beach and watched, I'm from Gallatin, and being a Green Wave, went to Beach to watch Jalen Hurd a lot. Man, he could do it. I mean, every four or five handoffs he got, he took it to the house. And when he got to Tennessee, he never could, break a big one. I'm talking 70, 80-yard run. And you always would see that from Jalen Hurd. And then all the crap he went through with the coach I don't know whose fault it was or what, but I got a feeling, with his attitude. But he was a big letdown.
And, I don't know that he's overrated as a player. He was a really good player at Tennessee. I mean, he was on pace to be the all-time leading rusher at Tennessee. It's not like he was bad when he played. I mean, he didn't have huge breakaway runs all the time, but I don't think he's overrated. I think he was a transcendent high school player at Beach. He was also running to the ground at Beach, and at times probably running to the ground at Tennessee. I don't know that I would say he's overrated. Now, did he make a mistake by not just sticking it out and going pro and being a running back? I think there's a Bleacher Report story out, an interview with him, where you could argue that. There are NFL scouts saying he would have been a mid-first round pick at running back, and now they have no idea what he is, a receiver. So I think the verdict's still out on Jalen Hurd. I definitely would not call him overrated.
If I may circle back to McNair.
Yes.
Everyone hates Chris tweets. The thing is scheme, too. They didn't play to max strengths until 2002 or so, and then he had two straight MVP caliber seasons. You have to factor that in. Fisher reined him in for too long. I agree with that, but you could take every player in the history of sport and find something not favorable about the system. The exception to the rule is a guy who's in the perfect system for his entire career, right?
Yes.
You're so good, or you're perfect for any system because you're so good. You're Larry Bird, or you're Aaron Rodgers, or you're Peyton Manning. But everybody else was somehow limited by not being featured in the right way. And so all those careers are the fair comparison. And again, I'm going to say he did what he did. I can't say I'm going to give him bonus points for having played in a system that didn't feature him in 2000 and not playing to the level I thought he should. Just the same way I can't say I'm going to score Jerry Rice down because Joe Montana was throwing to him or vice versa. They had who they had. They did what they did.
We got to come up with a top five list. We've talked for the last hour or so, most overrated sports figures in Nashville the last 20 years. Here are the suggestions that we have so far. Kevin Stallings, Lorenzo Neal, Steve McNair, James Franklin, Pecorine, Jeff Fisher, Taylor Lewan, Memorial Gym, Marcus Mariota, Paul Kuharski, Eddie George, Tennessee football, Jay Cutler, Jalen Hurd, Jordan Tutu. Here's what I think we should just go ahead and cross off the list. And you guys tell me if you have any objection to these. I think James Franklin should be crossed off the list as overrated.
Yes.
I'm right with them.
I think Pecorine should be crossed off the list as overrated.
I think he's fairly rated.
I think Taylor Lewan should be crossed off the list as overrated. I think Marcus Mariota crossed off the list as overrated.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Fairly rated.
Well, we're really on the same page here. I like this. Now, this is going to be more controversial. I think Paul Kuharski should be crossed off the list as overrated. Should we leave that under consideration?
Agreed. It should have been brought up yesterday. We didn't get to that.
Didn't get to the underrated part of it. I'm going to leave Eddie George on there for the purposes of this debate. Tennessee football, the call just didn't make any sense of what he was talking about. I think we cross it off the list. Jay Cutler, cross off the list?
Yes, I think so.
If I'm thinking
I think
of
it extends beyond Nashville, so it doesn't apply.
Jalen Hurd, I think we cross off the list.
Didn't live up to expectations. That's
didn't live up to expectations because he left. Yeah. But, I mean, he was really good when he was there, too. Here's one that we have to add.
Are we just crossing off till we get down to five?
Is that what
we're
doing? Yeah, basically.
Well, we're now down to on this list, six that we can debate.
And I don't
think
we're going to be unanimous on this. And I think a lot of it's based on the argument made as opposed to us all feeling universally strong about something.
I think I'm about to say a name that we're all going to agree will be in the top five that someone presented to us on Twitter that I did not think about. Jordan Tutu.
You mentioned him on that list at the end because added him. Yeah.
Yeah, Jordan Tutu.
I think he was overrated. I think people got excited about that enforcer thing. You had the tutu whistles, all that stuff. It was too much for me. Dave?
That's a good one. That is a really good one.
I think that's top five. So we now have to cross off two of the following. We're down to Kevin Stallings, Lorenzo Neal, Steve McNair, Jeff Fisher, Memorial Jim, Eddie George, Jordan Tutu. The first one I'm probably going to cross off.
Stallings automatic on.
Stallings is on. The first one I'm crossing off of that list would be Eddie George. I don't think he's overrated. Thoughts?
Well, it depends if you're leaving McNair on there.
Well, no, I mean, I can't say that Lorenzo Neal is overrated and Eddie George is overrated because either his success was predicated on Lorenzo Neal or his success was predicated on his own.
I'll cross off George and take my chances with the rest of the list.
Okay, I'm crossing off George. If I'm going down the list of who I think we should cross off next, it's Jeff Fisher, only because I think he's overrated nationally and not here. I think people know exactly who Jeff Fisher is here. I don't think he's overvalued.
I think we have a much better understanding of what he was as a head coach.
Yeah, I think there was a time he was overrated also. I think that time is largely passed. I would agree with that.
Boys, we have a top five. Now we have to put it in order. The five most overrated sports figures in Nashville for the last 20 years. Kevin Stallings, Lorenzo Neal, Steve McNair, Memorial Jim, Jordan Tutu. I disagree with Memorial Jim, but I think the idea of it is a good one.
I think it was well
something
argued.
Different to be put into the list.
I think the list is in correct order right now.
I also predict with 100% certainty that every Vandy fan that follows us will blame me for Memorial Jim, even though I'm standing on air right now. I'm the only one saying it's not overrated.
Well, I think on the list.
I will give full blame for that.
I think in the list that we tweet out, in parentheses after Memorial Jim, Trenton, you should write, despite Withrow's objection of inclusion or something like that. Make it clear that Withrow was a Memorial Jim supporter.
Or we could just do another case study and just throw it out there like if James Franklin
we know exactly how that's going to go.
If we just put the list out there, I'm going to get blamed for all of that.
Well, look, we're going to get crushed for McNair being on there, too.
I think
if
McNair's
you didn't hear
be...
this conversation, I can understand that, but hopefully we'll podcast out at least part of it, and people will be able to listen to it. I think it's a pretty good list. I think it's been a very good conversation.
I think McNair has to be fifth on this list, though.
That's fine by me.
Of what I'm looking at right now?
I'd change him and Memorial Jim. Dave said he liked that order. Stallings, Neal, 2-2. I would go Memorial, McNair. You satisfied with that, Dave?
That works.
So Kevin Stallings, one, most overrated. Low Neal, two. You're Toots. Going Jordan 2-2, three.
Memorial, four,
I
despite
love the
you.
Suggestion. Despite my objection, Memorial Jim will be on the list at number four. And then Steve McNair, five.
So here's the next discussion. Once this is posted here momentarily to Twitter, who's the first person on that list that gets at mentioned? Vanderbilt basketball.
Well, that ain't McNair.
Now it's Paul Kaharski. Huh? That settles that.
Well, all right. Look, I've just stated a fact. I mean, there's an easy answer to who it's not.
The obvious.
Stallings isn't on Twitter, I don't think. And you can't at mention Pitt basketball because he's not there, right?
Lorenzo Neal will be the first.
That's what I think, too.
Yes. And we'll probably hear from him.
We should. We welcome them to come on the show. We can discuss why they're not overrated.
Friend of the show.